Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Began a series of messages last week that we will be in for a little while. This is something, this kind of goes with our theme. But this is very important. This is where our nation is right now. Is where, and of course, the nation is where the hearts of the people are. You know, as a soul goes, so goes the family, so goes the family, so goes the nation. And so we are working with some things here this morning. Deuteronomy was written, is considered the second hearing of the law. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, God said, I'm going to establish you as my people. And he says, if you will do what I ask you to do, you'll be my people, and I will be your God. And so he gives them the law. Well, they look over at Mount Sinai. By the way, he said, go in and possess the promised land. It's yours. I've already paid for it. Well, there's people over there. Yeah, but they're just taking care of it until you get there. Literally, they're just taking care of it till you get there. Because otherwise it all grew up in weeds and this and that and the other thing. And it's yours. And the time's going to come and I will turn it over to you as you need it. But he says, it's yours. Go in and possess it. Well, they looked over there and saw the giants and said, well, I don't think so. I think we'll just stay right where we are. And sure enough, they did for 40 years. They wandered around for 40 years. So basically all that generation was gone and they died. 40 years later, at the end of that, 40 years and 11 months and the first day of the month, I believe it is, Deuteronomy is written and Moses is saying, okay, you're about ready to go into the promised land. Nothing has really changed. It's just been delayed for 40 years. By the way, if you're waiting for God to change his mind on something, then you're going to go ahead and get on board, don't bother. It's just going to delay the inevitable. In other words, if you think, well, you know, I'll do it later, and then we'll be, you know, you're not going to get the blessing. It's not going to change the consequences. Well, maybe he'll forget. Maybe he'll change the rules between now and then. Nope, doesn't work that way. He doesn't change, and so he comes out and gives us the exact same law in Deuteronomy 5. Now we went through an awful lot of this last week, and we're going to go through some more of it this week. And you're going to see as it all falls together here in a minute. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. And he has been saying all these things all along. We're going to cover a little bit of that in Deuteronomy here. But he says, verse 15: See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. It's almost like God placed on the table your choices. We've got life and good things over here, and we've got death and evil over here. Now, I've set them out here. Now, watch what it says here. Verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you. That word denounce is a lot like the word announce. Announce means to proclaim something, to put it out there, declare. To denounce means to tell you something you don't want to hear. It says, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Therefore, choose life. Duh. That both thou and thy seed, those who are coming after you, may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, glue to him, for he is thy life in thy length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. to give them. Let's have a word of prayer. Last week, I spoke on a message called It's Your Choice. Today, I'm going to speak on this. No choice, but to make a choice. In other words, we don't have a choice whether we make a choice or not. We have no choice to make a choice. We are going to have to make a choice. Let's pray. I think you understand by the time we're done. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Again, thank you for these truths. But Lord, you've set heaven and earth for a record today as our witness, so to speak. And you're going to show us some things here this morning. And Lord, I pray that we hang on to these things and use them. And Lord, help our folks to make a choice. Be one doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that today be the day of their salvation. Maybe somebody in here has been running away from God and running away from the things of God. Maybe they're watching online and they just haven't been able to make a choice. Well, Lord, that by not making a choice, they've made a choice. But Lord, I thank you that we can re-choose. We can choose again. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to choose. It doesn't mean we're going to, everything that happened will go back to the way it was, that we've messed up. But we certainly can start from today. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. We need you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to give each of us exactly what we need. In Christ's name, amen. Last week began this series of messages entitled, Choose Life. The initial principle that I want to establish is that we have a choice. You know, we got into this, in this whole mess here that we're in life because of a choice. Adam and Eve made a choice. The Lord says that you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but there's one tree in the midst of the garden, in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Leave it alone. Don't eat it. It's mine. They could have chosen to leave it alone. But somebody came along and filled their mind with some other things, some falsehoods, and convinced them to make a choice. And in fact, he says we make a choice for us and our seed, that we and our seed may live. Now, the Bible says Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was, but Adam wasn't deceived. He made a choice. He basically chose whether he's going to obey God or his wife. And it was this kind of, I don't think, you know, sometimes a choice can be made in just a matter of a few seconds. And I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, God's merciful. I'm not sure about my wife. God's up there, but I go home and live with her. And I'm just kind of playing with you here, but she gave him to eat and he ate it. He made a choice. And his choice cast all of the human race under the curse. You could say Adam threw all of us under the bus just to keep his wife happy. He made a choice. Of course, there are many things that come at us in life that we did not choose. But the next step is our choice. Plus, we are the only one that can make that choice. Where I go next is my choice. We have a choice as to how we're going to react to times when it appears we have no choice. I mean, can you imagine, you know, why did you do that? What we say, I really didn't have any choice. My wife gave it to me. You know how many times, what could I do? I mean, I didn't have any choice. I had all this pressure. Well, stand. Get a backbone, boy. You don't have to bow to it. We have a choice. Well, what if that choice means I'm going to die? Then I die. I mean, I would rather die now and go to heaven than to die 50 years from now and go to hell. We have a choice. When the world says you have no choice, you have a choice as to whether you're going to believe the world or believe God. We choose whether to move forward with God under his guidance or if we surrender to the pressure and the scare tactics of the world. Just because the world says you have no choice, that doesn't mean that there's not a choice. The Israelites had to make a choice at the Red Sea. They could have chosen to fight the Egyptians. Excuse me. To fight the Egyptians themselves. If they had chosen to fight the Egyptians themselves, they were choosing death, certain death. Instead, they chose to believe God by standing still and seeing the salvation of the Lord. And in so doing, they chose life. When they were told to take Jericho, they had a choice. They could choose to attack the city along the fortified walls like any normal person would do, but they would probably mostly be choosing their death as they would be attacked from the wall with the enemy having a clear advantage. Or they could choose to believe God and go through what appeared to be a futile and silly process of walking around the walls for a week. That would be most likely that'll be our demise. But they chose to believe God, and in so doing, they chose life. It was their choice. Whenever we choose God, we are by default choosing life in the long run. Whether we are dealing with our personal lives or the life of our nation, whether it's a personal choice or a corporate choice of the nation, the sovereign Lord has the authority to delegate certain decisions to his creation. In other words, he has given us a choice. In the passages we looked at last week and some we're going to look at this week, it is clearly revealed to us that much of what goes on in our lives is a result of our own choices. The biggest choice, the primary choice, is whether we choose to do the will of God or on our own, or whether we follow the guides of God, or if we do our own thing, whether we choose to obey the Lord or disregard the word of God. We can choose to follow God or we can choose not and to do things on our own. Just as a child left to himself brings his mother to shame, so we, when left to our own devices, will bring shame upon ourselves, our family, and the Lord himself. I'm not going to choose against God. I'm just not going to choose for him. You leave him to the self, we're in trouble. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son. He shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Correct him. Choose to live under the rules of God. All the ills in our personal lives and society in general can be traced back to sin one way or another. Some of these ills we have inherited from our ancestors. But many of our ills we have caused ourselves in our own time. Many of the current crises in society and possibly in our own lives can be attributed to our own choice or society's choice to turn their backs on the Lord and allow our sinfulness to guide us. The Lord is not in all our thoughts. Our deceitful hearts have been listening to our deceitful lusts. And the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life have overtaken our godly judgment, and we're reaping what we have sown. Society is falling apart simply because we have not decided to follow Jesus, but we have left society to itself to do as it seems fit, to do right in their own eyes and refuse the king that bought them. I read a paper, I don't know whether it was yesterday morning or the morning before, but there was an article in our local newspaper, and it says, what pronouns do you use? Learn your people's pronouns. Well, I was he, she, and it, that, you know. No. What it means is, how do you identify yourself? Are you a he, him, a she, her, or are you a thee, they? They, them. In other words, they, them. This is idiocy. In fact, they start talking to this person, their pronouns are they and them. So they name the person, and then they say this. And this happened to them. And I said, well, how many people's inside them? I was, no. It's a don't get into the grammar thing. Grammar changes. That's not an excuse. Yes, it is an excuse. How do you refer to multiple people then? They? Them? All y'all? this is ridiculous. I've decided what my pronouns are. Your Majesty and Your Highness. And if you don't respect me and refer to me with my preferred pronouns, then you've got a problem. We have a choice. We can go along with this sinful charade and disrespect God and disrespect His creation and His plan and His design, or we can choose the same death as the heathen. This kind of stuff's been going on all over the world for a long time. That's why they were called third world nations. They didn't have the blessings of America on them, because they did what the rest of the heathen had always done. We weren't perfect. We're not perfect. But overall, America had a heart that was after God. We have a choice. The Lord says we must make a choice. And that choice will determine whether we live or whether we die. It is literally a life or death decision. The Lord stated this principle in Leviticus 26. In verse number 3, it says, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And I will walk among you and I will be your God and ye shall be my people." But in verse 14 it says, but. So that's, see, if I choose life, then I'm choosing to obey His statutes and His precepts and His laws and His commandments. That's the package deal. Hate it when you go someplace and they sit down and give you a deal and you got to buy the whole package. Well, it's the whole package. But then he says, wait, he says verse 14, but if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. I mean, I don't have to do that. Well, you don't have to. You can choose not to. If ye shall despise, look down on my statutes, if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye will break my commandment, ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. So you can choose not to do that. But just so you know, you're choosing death by doing so. Deuteronomy 18 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or a chanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. He says the reason you're getting this land in the first place is because they were doing all these things. He kicked them out so he could put you in. Then don't go over there and do the exact same thing. He'll kick you out too. God's not going to bless that sin. The reason most of society feels vulnerable and helpless and hopeless is because they have no God in their lives, and they have no God in their lives because they have not fulfilled the requirements to have God actively involved in their lives. They have refused to walk in God's statutes, to keep His commandments. They have chosen instead to live according to their own code of ethics, like the rest of the heathen world, or the lack thereof, and thus their sins have separated them from their God. Last week I read a passage after passage where the Lord says and reiterates this basic principle. In Deuteronomy, the second hearing of the law, the Lord restates this principle. Choose the Lord and you are choosing life. Choose sin. By the way, sin according to the Lord's definition, and you're choosing death. On the other hand, even if we have chosen sin and it's brought some destruction, we can change our mind and choose the Lord by choosing repentance. And the Lord is willing to reverse the process. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart, with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things have come upon thee, these things that we've brought on ourselves because of our sin, because we've walked away from God, even in the latter days, now, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto thee. And then he restates in Deuteronomy 5 the Ten Commandments. It's just amazing how many people, in fact, it goes on and says, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that ye may, it may be well with you, that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. That's amazing how many people, I've had it happen. I'll say, they haven't done right, and they got themselves in a mess, and life is hard. And they come to me and say, well, here's what we need to do. We can start over. And I said, and so you want God in your life? Absolutely, I want God in my life. And here's how we're going to do it. And you tell them, okay? Okay. And then you say, because that now we got to go back here. And you, by the way, the things that God said before we're supposed to do, it's still true. It didn't change his mind. Well, I was hoping he'd forget. Well, maybe we wouldn't have to do that anymore. But I don't want to do. And it's, I have had people, I mean literally, look at me and say, but I don't like that. Well, do you like death? Do you like perishing? Do you like being kicked out of the land? Do you like to walk all by yourself with no God? Well, no. Well, then here's the deal. You want life, you want blessing, you want the good, you're good out of life, you've got it, you're going to have to do it God's way. There is no in-between here. So what's happening? Is he seeking with all his heart? All right. Okay, that's what I got to do. God's not buying it. I just read it. If you seek him with all your heart. Now, I might mess up. Lord, I'm trying to do this right. I did that wrong. Sorry, Lord. All right. I'm going to try this again. I'll do this right. Is that God's not expecting perfection. He's expecting your heart. He wants your heart. The laws and the statutes and the precepts that the Lord has given us to follow and obey are for our good. In Deuteronomy 6:24, it says this. Deuteronomy 6:24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe, watch out too, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, and he hath commanded us. What does that mean? It means that if I choose to fear God, respect God, honor him in my life by doing right with a grateful attitude, if we observe, look to it, that we do all of the Lord's commandments the best we can, that he really, literally, all, well, I did the best I could. No. You knew what I'm talking about. That he will preserve us alive and not allow the curses of this world to get us before our time. In other words, by choosing to obey the Lord's commands, we're choosing life. By choosing not to obey the law of the Lord, we are choosing destruction and ultimately death. In chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, the Lord goes on to state what will happen to them if they fail to walk in his ways, but choose not to choose God's ways, and instead walk in the ways of the world, which is what our nation seems to want to do. Murder, stealing, adultery, sexual sins, take the Lord's name in vain, that's what they want to do. Chapter 8, verse 1. And all the commandments which I command you this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all, if at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Now in chapters 12 through 27 in Deuteronomy, the Lord gives conditions for the blessings. And we will go through all those. Now some Americans, watch, some Americans pride themselves that we are a pluralistic society. Now I understand that we have everybody is welcome, everybody is, we have freedom and so forth. I understand there. But that doesn't mean that pluralism is good. Variety is not bad, but a variety of gods, a variety of faiths is bad. I'm sorry. I agree that everyone has the right to choose. And they do. They have the right to choose. But if they will have faith in God, even choose what they worship, but I'm sorry, they have the right to choose. If they will have faith in God and even choose what they worship as God, the Lord is saying that too. You have a right. You have a choice. However, choosing anything other than the Lord God to be your God is the wrong choice. I'm sorry, it's the wrong choice. He says, I am the Lord God, there is none else. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And by the way, if you ask a Muslim, they would tell you that their way is the only way. Don't get on my case. By the way, if you believe it, then don't you believe it all the way? If you don't believe it all the way, then you don't believe it. Don't be all self-righteous and holy and thou, well, I just think everybody should allow to. You are allowed to believe what you want, but some of you are wrong. I'm not right on everything. I'm talking about the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the way, the truth, and life. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. So it goes on in chapter 11, says, I've set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. The Lord is saying you have a choice. Now you have a choice to believe it or not, it's up to you. But remember, all choices have consequences. Deuteronomy 12:1. He says, these are the statutes and the judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land with the Lord your God, your fathers, all right, have given thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye have possessed serve their gods upon the high mountains, upon the hills, under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Now we are in a world that we don't have the right to simply destroy everybody's property. I understand that. But what he's saying is, I'm going to destroy it, any part of it that's in my life. I mean, if I had a, don't get mad at me. If I had a statue of Mary that I bowed to and prayed to, I'd get rid of it. That's hard. We're not supposed to, we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the advocate to the Father. She said that she's going to give birth to her Savior. She was not sinless. Jesus was sinless. I don't want to be mean. I'm just telling you, this is the truth. If there's something in my heart that I'm bound down to, whether it's the world or whatever it is, religion, I need to destroy it and get it out of my life. That's what he's saying. Get it out of your life. He said, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. My decisions affects my kids. I remember when I got ready to come up here, I had a choice to make. I had a good job. I was assistant pastor. I had a nice house. Good salary. Great ministry. I was a music director, had 100 in the choir and 45 members in the orchestra. We would do a drama, you know, each year, and we have 250, 300 people as part of the drama and the music together, and the crew and a bunch. We'd have 150, 200 people saved every year in that week's worth of services. The Lord was using me. And I felt the Lord was calling me up here to be this pastor of this church. It didn't make sense. Everybody told me it didn't make sense. But I really felt in my heart that God was moving us. Now, I remember saying, I have a choice to make. Now, I had four kids. My oldest was in a junior in high school. And Nathan was the youngest. He was 9 years old. And I thought, you know what? We could stay right where we are. And if we go up here to Dover, what if nothing happens? What if we fail? What if it falls apart? Maybe I'm not supposed to be here and God's not going to bless it. It'd be one of the worst things that could ever happen to my kids. Could destroy them. But if we go up to a church that's all but ready to close, and we do it God's way, and they see us do some of the crazy things, but it's God's way, and they watch God bring it back to life. It's one of the best things that ever happened to them. It would have been easier for me to stay. But I believe the Lord gave us clear choice. I think I made the right choice, and I think it brought life to my kids. They had opportunities to do things here. They never would have had opportunities in a big church. Not just because of my kids, just because they didn't have anybody else to do anything. You know what it's like, you know, when you're a preacher's daughter, you know. Well, you're going to do it. And now I'm reaping, be honest with you, I'm reaping the blessings of all those years that they forced you to do what you maybe didn't always want to do. But God's still using you. So he says in verse 15, I'm sorry, let me back up, I went over it. So Deuteronomy 28, he gives specific blessings and specific cursings, and we will probably go over those. In Deuteronomy 29, he shows how this is a personal choice, and we may spend some time here later too. Finally, in Deuteronomy 30, where we were this morning, the Lord draws a line in the sand, and it calls on us to make a choice. The Lord takes them through many things to bring them to another thought in Deuteronomy 30. I want you to walk through with this with me. By the way, have you gotten tired of me running over the same redundant thing over and over again? Huh? Have you? Good. That was part of the effect. Everything just keeps saying the same thing. Keeps saying the same thing. It says it a different way, but it just keeps saying the same thing. Reads another verse, says the same thing. Uh-huh. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. What are we saying? Did you get it yet? Don't tell me that you didn't know. We cannot stand before God and say, well, if I had just known, I would have, oh, I would. You know, he says, you all know. I've told you 15 dozen times. You choose life by choosing the obedience and your heart to God. When you choose not to obey God, you're choosing not, and you don't want to have Him. You choosing death and evil and problems and issues and cursings. And if you want the good, you want the good. You've got to choose God. It's a package deal. Don't tell me, well, you know, it was in heaven and no one ever told us. I'm telling you now. But it was over there across the sea and nobody brought it to us. I did. Just now. It is in your... Listen, I have said it so many times. It is so near you, it is in your lips. Not one person here has an excuse now. That's what he's saying. Don't tell me you didn't know. We've got a choice to make. Don't tell me that you didn't know you had a choice. Don't tell me and claim you didn't know these things were wrong in the eyes of the Lord. Don't tell me you didn't know that these things were going to bring destruction in your life. Because I'm telling you right now, and you will make a choice. Remember, to do nothing is a choice. It's a choice to do nothing and to gamble on the results. Look at verse 15. See, look, he said, look, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. There it is. Take it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. So if you start doing what the rest of the world is doing and refuse to stop, it says, I denounce unto you, I promise you something you don't want to hear. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. That word perish, what that means? To slip away, to become nothing, to be destroyed. It's just going to waste away. Doesn't mean you're going to die that day. But it means we're on the downhill slope. Don't expect to get any better. Don't expect to get any better. And that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land. Your days in this land are numbered. Whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And he says this, now I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. When we stand before God and you say, well, I didn't know. All of heaven and earth is going to say, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Don't give me that. We cannot stand before God guiltless by ourselves. I've set before you. Call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Decisions you make is going to affect your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. He's your life. Choose life. You want to choose life, you got to choose Jesus. You want to choose life, you got to choose the Word of God. You got to choose life. You got to choose obedience to God. If you don't want to choose those things, you are choosing a mess. You're choosing something's going to go downhill into the hole, into the pit, worse and worse, year after year, day after day. That's our choice. Now, I'm going to give you a couple points here, real quick. We're coming down to the end. Number one, there's a proposition. The Lord has set a choice before us. He says, you do what you want to do, but these are the two choices you have. Do you want a healthy relationship with God, or do you want to be married to the world? What the Lord has to offer is much better than what the world has says it could give you. Here's the proposition. Choose life. But to choose life, we're choosing to keep His laws, His commandments, His precepts the best we can. And when we mess, we confess our sins. But He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're choosing that. By the way, and what did He say? Therefore, you're good. Do you realize, my guess is, I'll live a lot longer if I don't commit adultery on my wife. He says, a better chance. I'll kill him. You know what I mean? We cause problems. I make one stupid choice for one night. And it all comes down to 10, 15 minutes. I destroy my marriage. And then my kid says, man, was this all just a bunch of foolishness? Was all just all this a lie? And you got some kids who are afraid to get married because they don't want to end up in the same way because they saw how mom hurt. But you know, you've got those desires, and so they end up having kids outside of marriage. So now we got a single mother trying to raise some kids. But she can't be home with them because she's got to work all day because she's trying to do it by herself. And so the kids are being raised by the babysitter and a TV set. And then they grow up and they have no idea what a family is like. And you've got another dysfunctional family in the world. All because I made a stupid decision 40 years ago for a one-night stand. I had to make a decision. Life. But if I'm choosing life, then I'm choosing righteousness. I'm going to have to live by His law. For my good. Yeah, but we had a really good night, and it's gone. I'm not trying to be rude or crude. But 10 minutes after it was over, it was all over. How many guys have said, well, I don't want her. She's loose. Well, you were the one she was loose with. I know there's girls you date and the ones you kind of marry. There's girls you date the kind you take home to mom. I'm not trying to be mean here, but I'm trying to wake us up. This is why our nation is where it is. We don't choose life. Life says, I choose to obey. That's the proposition. Number two, the promise. God cannot lie and can deliver on His promise. The world is a liar and cannot promise to deliver. By the way, the world has no power to all the things that it promises. It can't deliver. It doesn't have the power to deliver it. God has the power of everything to deliver. God says, you choose to obey me, you're choosing life. That's His promise. He also promises, listen, you go your own way, you're choosing death. You're choosing problems. You're choosing destruction. I promise you. I remember sometimes my dad said, you don't want to do that. I promise you. I promise you, you don't want to do that. Number three, the principle. We've been talking about the whole time, the principle. And this proposition is a principle for life. If we stick with God, which means we must be obeying God, we will experience the blessings of God. I'm not saying things never go wrong, but God will he'll bless you by helping you through the problems. Otherwise, you're going through the problems all by yourself. And besides, there's more problems. If we do not stick with God at times, And watch, at those times that we do not stick with God, we will be away from the blessings of God and will experience the curse of Adam upon this world and upon us. Like I said, I could be a pastor. I could have done everything right in my life, and all I've got to do is do one stupid thing and ruin my whole ministry. I could ruin lives. I've seen it. Some preacher falls, and they say, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. Now, when someone falls, don't you get, listen, they're just flesh and blood. They're sinners. Now, they need to stay out of it. Why are we surprised they fell? They're not God. They got to choose every morning. In fact, we're choosing every minute whether we're going to have life or death. Well, how's that? Whether I'm going to obey him or whether I'm not. The more decisions I choose that it's life-giving, the more blessing I'm going to find in my life. The more that I choose against that, I'm choosing death and perishing in my life. Some people do some things in their life just fine. And there's other things, they make bad choices. And they wonder why it all goes haywire on them. We've got the proposition, the promise, the principle, and here's the program. God explains what it means to walk with God and what it does not mean to walk with God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here too later. We walk with him. So God offers life. The world and the wages of sin brings death. In him was life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so God gives us a choice. After the Israelites had gone into the promised land and Joshua had helped them win and conquer the promised land, Joshua was in his final days. And he set down a similar choice. In Joshua 24:14, old Joshua was talking to the people, said, now I'm about ready to pass away. And the Lord has blessed us. By the way, the Lord has blessed them because Joshua and Caleb have made some decision. And Joshua followed the Lord, and the people followed Joshua. And so the Lord blessed them. He says, I'm going out. I'm leaving. I'm going to pass off the scene here. Now, when I'm gone, if you wanted to keep working, you're going to have to keep doing what you've been doing. It says, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in the Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Or the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood? Or the gods of the Amorites? Or in whose land ye dwell? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can do what you want. And by the way, what you do does not have to affect the blessing of God on my life. What the world does not have to affect the blessing of God on my life. Now, my house right now, there's only two of us. They're on their own. They got to make their own choice now. I cannot make their choice for them. They're under God directly. While the kids are in my house and I'm taking care of them, they're under me. But they're gone. But as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Listen, I'm going to choose life. I don't want that mess over there. Listen, you want to do the stupid things. You want to lie and play with this and cheat on this and figure with this and do what the world does and play around on Friday night and go out here and you want to do that? That's your business. But you didn't hear it here. Heaven and earth are witness to what I've said here this morning. The choice is yours. We must make a choice. The demons. You say, well, I don't like all these rules. You're making life difficult. You're tormenting me here, Jesus. Pastor, you're tormenting me here. I mean, I do this to have... The demons in Matthew 8 said, behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before time? The demons said that. You know why they felt like they were tormented? Because they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. They're wrong. They're evil. That's why they felt God was tormenting them. Listen, when God comes at us with rules, that's not torment. That's life. He's given me life. Listen, if I really thought that was life, then I'm going to make sure that I know what life tells me to do. Even if I don't know yet, I'm going to want to go find out what it is. Or maybe we're like the Jewish leadership that rejected Jesus at the hearing before Pilate. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Well, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." God wants to give you life. No. But what's wrong with this? Just don't. I just don't want it. Or are we like Peter that made the right choice? In John 6:66, it says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" And then Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." He said, "Well, I don't know if I want all these rules." Where else am I going to go? And besides, those rules are for my good. I just don't understand why yet. But they're for my good. And where else am I going to go? Because this is the word of eternal life. This is where life is going. Are you tired of living as you are? Your life does not have to be this way. Your life doesn't have to be over. And maybe you think there's nothing that can be done about it, and it's no use thinking that it can change. But you have a choice. Well, what if you made a choice, a wrong choice, a long time ago? Well, you can be surprised what God can do. Our nation doesn't have to end like this. Our nation still has a choice. As things get worse, you can look at it one way or the other. The fact is, some people think, "Well, we're getting further and further away from revival." Actually, sometimes it lets it get worse and worse and worse until we have no place to look but up. One last point. To not make a choice is to make a bad choice. I started this out with saying, you have no choice but to make a choice. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee and really, overall, a pretty good man. But he came to Jesus and said, "We know that you are from God, because no man could do what you do except you be of God." And Jesus answered, he said, "Well, listen, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again." You need to make a choice. You need to make a decision. And then he starts to explain this, and he says this: "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Not perish, but have life. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So they walk in the light, in the darkness. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." In other words, to not choose life is to remain condemned already. Now, that's not only your salvation, but if I don't choose to live for God, I'm going to, by default, live for myself, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, will live the world. I'm choosing death. I'm choosing to perish. I'm choosing destruction. If you sit in a boat on the Susquehanna River, which way are you going to go? Downstream. If you want to go upstream, you got to make a choice. If you want to see God's blessing, you have to make a choice. And the choice is, I'm going to obey him. But you know what it simply means? Don't sin. In other words, don't lie. don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't commit adultery. You didn't have to do it. I swear some people spend more time and more energy trying to do a dirty deal and scam you. Boy, I mean, they have call centers and computers that talk to you and all this stuff to scam you these days. Man, if they just took all that and put it towards something good and make an honest living, my goodness. I mean, Lord, besides they're doing that, God's resisting them. They're not going to get ahead. Oh, they got a lot of money right now. Yeah, well, talk to Jeff Bezos and Zuck. Who's the guy, the CNN guy? Yeah, just talk to him right now. If you still got a lot of money, you know what? You can have all the money in the world and be miserable. Whether you like it or not, we cannot simply be neutral. We cannot just pass on this. To not choose life and blessing is to choose death and be left to stumble among the curses. That's my point today. Choose life.